You're listening to Guide to Brides, the wedding podcast. I'm Nikita from Team GFB, and if you're planning your wedding or helping someone who is, you're in the right place, because I'll be discussing trends, practical planning tips, and more with the help of some special guests along the way. So let's get started with today's episode. Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Guide to Brides, the wedding podcast. So today we are covering something that we haven't yet done on the podcast, which is really surprising because it's a major element of your wedding, and that is the flowers. And today we've got special guests Bex and Kirsty from Flowers by Kirsty to discuss all things wedding flowers with you. And we'll be covering things such as bouquets, table decor, floral displays, as well as the practical sides like what to expect when you contact a florist and budgets. So without further ado, do you want to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes.
Do you want me to start?
You start. You are.
Well, hello, I'm Kirsty. Thank you for having us, obviously, first of all. I'm Kirsty from Flowers by Kirsty, and
I'm Bex.
We are wedding florists. Well, we're mainly wedding and event florists, and we've been going nearly, what is it, our 10th year now,
this
isn't
is
it?
10th, yeah.
10th year. I started the business back in London. That's where I was living. I'm from Oxfordshire originally, so I kind of split the business between the two areas. And you know, through Guides for Brides, you know, yourself, thank you. I did lots of wedding fairs with you guys, advertising. And then you sort of used to come along, didn't you,
got
on those Sundays?
Yeah,
you did. I was like, Bex, please help. Because I don't know if you know, but Becky is my sister. So you were roped in to help me at the Guides for Brides
fairs.
It's good.
So roping the sister, free labour.
Basically, anyone I could rope in.
I just like to talk to people, so it was great for me.
You'll realise she's a bit of a chatter, so yeah.
Well, that's what you want.
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. Okay. So you came on board 6-7 years ago.
Yeah,
yes.
Was, yeah.
You were doing something completely different, weren't you?
Yeah, and decided that, you know, thought I'd help little sis along. She was doing incredibly well, but it got to a point where needed more people, needed to expand, let's take over Oxfordshire. So that's what
not quite. But you know, but Becky, I know you probably hate this, but I always say that Becky's like the business brain of Flowers by Kirsty, because I'm the ditzy creative one. But you know, you do flowers as well, but Becky's the business, because that's kind of where you came from, so
yeah, the corporate
she
world.
Keeps me on track when I'm like, shall we spend this much on a new arch, shall we do this, and you're like, maybe not. So
well, that's perfect. And you guys, you've just started a new sister site for your business as
because of COVID we weren't doing any weddings, as everyone wasn't, and we decided to set up a sister company called Bringing You the Bloom. So we did that because we wanted to kind of keep the two brands separate. So yeah, it's basically our new delivery service, which we've been doing for what, 2 and a bit years
now.
Yeah,
it's always been there, but as a sideline.
Yeah, but we've never really gone for it, kind of thing. So yeah, Bringing You the Blooms, we launched that recently, and that's basically home deliveries. You know, it's everything that's not the wedding side. So we also do offices, you know, weekly house flowers and stuff like that. So that's
amazing.
Going really well. So yes.
Well, let's dive into the wedding flowers side of things. And I think it makes the most sense for us to start right at the beginning, when you are just engaged and you've booked your venue and you're like, fantastic, I can start thinking about my flowers now. When you send an inquiry to a florist, what can you possibly expect from the process of that?
So we do love to chat. So I think, you know, initially, I know it's very easy for somebody to email us. So that's what they would do. They come through the website, Instagram, and message us. We immediately call that person, generally have a chat, and then we'll book them in for a consultation. Now, the beauty of where we are, so our workshops in Ardington, just on the way to Wantage, is that we would invite people to come and see us. Come and meet us, meet our surroundings, if that is a possible, because obviously they don't live near close by. We'll always do a Zoom, because again, it's just nice to visualize. You know,
meet.
Flowers are visual, so you know, let's meet face to face where we can. And then we just generally sort of have a chat about their style, and develop on that of, you know, what we can create, what we can show them. We like them to bring images.
Yeah, definitely. And the, you know, we always say, like, bring things that you've seen on, you know, Pinterest. Like, Pinterest. I think probably, I don't know,
it's
if
it's
the only thing. Yeah, and that's it. Oh, God, I love Pinterest. You know, like, don't
get
me wrong.
We use it for our own home.
Yeah, God, yeah. I go down like a wormhole of like, you're on it, and then you're on it for the whole evening kind of thing. Yeah. Like, pinning, I'm doing my house up, so it's just like,
pin,
plastering things. Yeah. That's basically what I'm after at the moment. But, yeah, like,
it's not always a reality.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And, like, we always say, please, yeah, come with the board. You know, it's exciting to see your ideas and stuff, but we, you know, I would probably say 80% of the images you see on Pinterest are styled shoots, which, again, we've done styled shoots, but it's not the reality of this is what you're going to get. Or, yeah, so, you know, we can definitely look at these images and then we take from that and we put our proposal together of images of real weddings that we've done. And you know, and definitely, like, with venues as well, like, you know, if you're getting married in a, like, an old manor house, then don't show me images of, you know, like a country feel, or, you know, or like, or a marquee, something hanging, an installation, you can't hang in a listed building kind of thing.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Like, so I think it's just sort of...
it's just a reality check, isn't it? And I think with Pinterest or any images you see, it's, you know, good for us to have some colours, bring those along. Everybody hates talking about money, of course they do, but it is a crucial... element. It's something that we do have to ask, because what we then want to do is work within that budget. You know, what do you feel comfortable with spending on your flowers? We have lots of couples that have spreadsheets and they will automatically say, well, I want to spend X amount compared to my overall budget. That's great. You know, let's work
with
that.
At least we know kind of what they want to spend.
Definitely.
Amazing. And going back to the sort of Pinterest point there about inspiration. So your main tip there was that you need to look at flowers that are in venues that are kind of like yours as inspiration, but then Pinterest being a side of things that you can look at the trend that you like, the colours that you like. Would you say anything else, like if there's specific flowers that you've seen in a bouquet that maybe you should bring them in and sort of circle that one? And
absolutely. Oh God, you know, like, we, you know, if there's a particular flower that you absolutely love or means something,
yeah,
like, you know, it was Granny's, you know, one that she grew in her garden, then of course we, you know, that's what we do, and I love that. And actually, the crazier the better, isn't it? Like, if there's something that you want me to add into a bouquet, I'll do it, you know, like, you know,
we've got a bride at the moment I'm talking to, and it's sort of a secret from her groom that wants to go very different to the whole inspiration of the wedding. And I loved that. You know, I was like, yes, let's get
really she's
creative,
very traditional.
So.
It's a beautiful, you know, greenery, heavy, flat, but her bouquet is
very
totally different. And it is brilliant. It's a great idea. So I'm like, let's roll with it. Let's go with it. Like, we've done...
painted roses gold.
Yeah, we've done that. I've added... Yeah. Well, we added some, like... horns into a bouquet once and stuff for a real way. Because she was into taxidermy.
Okay, cool.
So hey, why not, you know, let's go for it. But anyway, I don't know, we're just completely going off on one here, but back to Pinterest is, of course, if there's flowers that you love, if there's an image, then yes, you know, we can totally go. But, you know, as florists, we can tell you, like, yeah, that's great, but that's another florist's work. We're not going to copy that. Mm. We will take that style and we will do our style. That's why you're coming to us, because you like what we do. You know,
hopefully they've done their homework and looked at our Facebook, Instagram, our website as well. So, yeah, we can create whatever a couple desire. However, there's a florist for everyone.
Exactly.
And then we have a certain style, which is kind of that. Well, our style is gathered, asymmetrical, messy.
Just messy. We don't do neat, really, But and obviously seasonal when we can, you know. We use British flowers, when we can.
And amazing. So, like, when you're planning a wedding, obviously, I think... budgets wise, it's quite tricky to know what flowers cost, because it's such a sliding scale, isn't it? So it really depends on how many flowers you want, what kind of display you want them to be in. Like, you know, a bouquet is gonna be a very, very different price to an arch, for example. So what would your advice be to couples when they're thinking about how much they would like to spend on their flowers?
I think it just comes back to how much do you comfortably want to spend.
Exactly.
It's like anything that you're spending on, you know,
buying a car,
or, you know, I've just bought a new kitchen, and it's like, well, I know I've only got X amount to spend, so I'm not going to go to that kitchen fitter necessarily, or that kitchen showroom. So it's what you feel comfortable with spending. But there are ways that you could be creative with that budget. So even if you don't, you know, you don't have the thousands, if you have a limited budget, we can still be creative with what we can do. And I think from our point of view, we always say to a couple is, let's go for that big wow factor, that big focal point. So don't spread that budget too thinly so that you have to cover everything. You know, have, if you're in a marquee, have a big floral ring or a big arch. That's something that your guests will really remember.
Yeah, it's that wow factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. It's just, I think weddings, you know, I've been doing this, we've been doing it 10 years now, and it's moved on so, like with wedding dresses, cakes, you know, the style of photography, you know, things move along. And I think, I always say to couples, like, yeah, you know, like, just don't think, oh, right, I'm getting married, this is how we have to do a wedding. Like, this is the certain rules, this is the tradition. Oh, actually, because mum did that, so actually I need to have that for my day. Yeah. You know what? There are no rules. It's your day. Like, do whatever you want.
Have a party.
You know, who cares?
We always say that we should rename the podcast the Do Whatever You Want podcast.
Do whatever you want. And that's what I say. Don't, if you're, because some couples, you know, that come to us saying, oh, I'm quite nervous. I said, well, don't think of it as a wedding. Think of it as just a party that's celebrating you guys. Mm-hmm. That just have fun and don't get so caught up with, oh, you know, like, oh, well, you know, I've got to have a buttonhole for my mum. Well, you know, if she doesn't want one, don't worry. You know. Yeah. Things that, you know, maybe your mother had back in the day aren't necessarily what, you don't have to have those things. So it's like, you know, we can flower up anything, you know, but you know, just don't worry about the sort of finer details and stuff, I guess, is our advice.
Yeah.
And just,
So I don't know if we've answered your question.
No,
really,
probably not.
I think it's taught to us, you know, it is a horrible subject of talking about, you know, how much do you want to spend? But then that means that we can be really realistic with a couple and honest and transparent. You know, there's no hidden costs with us. This is, if you want us, this is what it's going to be.
And I think it might be worth talking about, because I think I've seen on TikTok as well that how couples can be so surprised at how much flowers can be. I think it might be worthwhile just talking through like what that cost actually involves, because you know, I know, being in the industry, that, you know, florists, they have such a creative eye. It's their time, it's their expertise, it's the flowers,
it's the flowers.
You know, what kind of things go into that sort of cost of wedding flowers?
Well, no, it's great that you said that, because, you know, like, and again, it's not, you know, this is not coming from a patronising way, is it, at all? Because obviously, if you've never planned a wedding, because this is your first wedding, you've never gone and approached, like, suppliers and stuff. But, you know, people go into Tesco's or Sainsbury's and they'll see, like, a mixed bunch of flowers for, you know, £20, and it's a nice big arrangement. But, you know, and then they'll come to us and go, well, hang on, well, we want a bridal bouquet of that same size. Why are you charging that much? And you're like, well...
Well, they're factory made, aren't they?
You know, you can't compare what's in, you know, and actually it's known that supermarkets don't make any profit on their flowers. What they do, and that's why they're at the front of the store when they come in, to attract people in. Yeah. They don't make money. Well, they also have their own growers, so they get the most cheapest flowers that we can't ever do. So, anyway, that's a whole different thing about. But, you know, flowers themselves, since, you know, Brexit, COVID, they've gone up by 30%, and that's within 2 years. So, you know, flowers are expensive. Mm. We buy them inexpensive, like, you know,
it's transport.
Like, you know, like around Valentine's Day, like the amount they go up, you know, a simple Lysianthus back in the day would cost X amount. And, you know, like yesterday I was looking, I was like, oh my God. But that's the reality, that flowers are expensive. So, you know, and then it's the cost of, you know, the consultations, it's the proposals, putting that together,
it's
takes
time,
hours, you know, and then it's the prep, you know, like a wedding, we're prepping for at least 3 days before that wedding. So it's a Saturday wedding, we start on a Tuesday, prepping all the vases, you know, getting the chicken wire ready.
Visiting the venue beforehand, we do recce's.
You know, if we don't know the venue, it's liaising, it's, you know, so it's not just the cost of, say, again, that £30 bouquet that you're just going to pick up. Actually, the reason it costs that much for a bridal bouquet is it's all the other stuff, let alone freelancers on the day.
Yeah. Set up.
It's coming back the next day. It's also, if
well,
you want...
not just the next day. Well, 2 o'clock day. In the morning. Oh,
we've done 2 o'clock in the morning ones, which is hell. But, you know, that's what, the venues have to be cleared that night. So it's all of those things. So that's why, you know, it's the reality.
I think it's really important to say that because... I see so many TikToks like, why do flowers cost so much? But actually, it's because flowers, as a commodity themselves, do cost a lot of money for you guys. And then you've got, you're a business at the same time, you know.
And it's, but those people, I just want to be like, I feel like going to them, okay, what do you do as a career then? Okay, so what, you're, I don't know, you're a carpenter. Okay, why do you cost that much then? So it's like, well, why do people feel like they can...
Yeah. So I think it's
say
because...
those things. It's like blooming out, they're expensive wedding flowers. But actually, you know, I would never go to a lawyer and say, God, you're charging £250 an hour or something, you know. But that's their expertise, isn't it? It's their time and actually
And we are skilled.
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Anyway, I could go off on one on that one.
Brilliant. And obviously as well, like there are some flowers that cost more than others, don't they? What kind of factors might someone want to consider when they're thinking about the kinds of flowers they want? I mean, when I was searching for my florist, I was like, I don't know what any of these flowers are called.
Yeah, lots of people are trying.
But what I found is that when I was talking to my partner about them, showing him pictures and then showed the picture to my florist, she's like, okay, well, this one is actually quite an expensive flower. The alternative is this one. I'll find you a photo and send it to you.
Yeah, and that's a good florist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's finding those alternatives. But you're looking at something like a rose. They have gone up in price. You know, there's some beautiful roses out there and so many varieties. So they are expensive. We mentioned the Lisianthus. Now, years ago, that would be a sort of
filler.
Not cheaper flower, but slightly a filler flower, common kind of, you know, beautiful. Again, the varieties have changed, the colours, and they are expensive. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of growers, if you Google a lot of the growers in England and over in Holland, they're actually doing less, they're growing less because they can't afford the heating bills. Mm. You know, so there's fewer flowers. Yeah. So obviously that
supply and demand.
Up the prices to buy them.
Yeah.
So there is no cheap flower that we keep getting asked, only if you go to supermarkets, of course. But we'll always find an alternative.
Yeah, especially if they're like out of season. So
yeah,
like peonies, you know, who doesn't like a peony?
I know,
exactly. Yeah, no. And we get
it's probably one of my favourite flowers, actually.
But they are stunning.
They're so dreamy and blousy.
No, the colours, and you know, you get like obviously the creamy, you know, the whites and everything, like the Mother's Choice. But then you also get like, you know, the striking big, you know, like the coral sunsets, which are the most magical flower ever, aren't they? They're bright, bright, vivid coral. And then when they open up more and more over like the week or 2 weeks, they become paper white and they're just creamy. They go to like a yellow stage chalice, but anyway, they're the most amazing flower, aren't they? But anyway, but you know, when a bride wants those, and unfortunately they come to us and it's not like May, June, which is British season for them, you know, we can think of alternatives like, you know, like a David Austin rose, which, okay, it's not a peony, but they've still got that blousy, gorgeous vibe, isn't it? Or
absolutely,
like a ranuncular, like, you know, ranuncs are amazing. Or like anemones, like these, but they're very much kind
very
of
seasonal,
like a but we can think of alternatives and stuff like that.
And I think that's obviously a sign of really, really good florists, is being able to identify, okay, I know you won't be able to get this, and I'm going to be brutally honest with you on that. So
and if we don't know the answer, we'll talk to our growers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we don't know everything. Yeah. And there are so many different varieties of, you know, roses, for instance. So we will always go and do our homework as well.
Which is perfect. And so in terms of what you actually need for a wedding, this, even if it's just the most common sort of package that your couples might choose, what kind of things do you need to think about including in that? So like your bridal bouquet is one of them, obviously. Anything else that you would say sort of like the average couple that comes to you generally gets?
Well, I suppose the question is, we always get asked, don't we, for ceremony, well, it's personal flowers, so bouquets,
bridesmaids and stuff like
hair
that,
hair flowers
we could do, you know, headdresses or just like individual flowers and stuff. But bridesmaids, typically would get a smaller, simplified version of what the bride is holding, or, you know, or the couple. And then, yeah, buttonholes for the wedding party. We get quite... I always have to say, right, let's go through the numbers, right? Who's having a buttonhole? So sometimes the grooms do get missed out.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, like, well, I've had, you know, on the morning of like, oh my God, I've forgotten my dad who's walking me down the aisle. So I'm like, okay, it's fine. I can quickly make you up another one. So that's fine. But yeah, no, so we, yeah, that's sort of the buttonholes. Yeah, ceremony flowers. But again, it depends on the venue, really. If you're getting married in a church, or if you're in the same, you know, venue, you know, the things that are used for the ceremony could be then used in, you know, utilised somewhere else in the venue. But even the church flowers, we always say, look, you know, obviously try and use the flowers, you know, so again, for budget, if you're using flowers in the ceremony, then we can pick those up and be creative and use them somewhere else. Like if you're going for like hedgerows down the aisle, those can then line up against the front of a top table kind of thing. So that's that kind of blousy hedgerow feel. And then, yeah, like table centres. But again, like I said before, I'm not into like... this is a typical, this is what you must have. Some people don't want table centres off of us and they just concentrate on ceiling arrangements and stuff like that, or big installations. So,
Okay, perfect. So it's in terms of the personal flowers, then there's a lot to be able to be considered. You know, is there anything that you've ever done that is out of the ordinary that you've never seen done before that a couple, that couples might want to hear and be inspired by?
Well, there was definitely the... sort of anti-bride, as she liked to be called, where she did just have spray gold roses as her bouquet, and her bridesmaids had pine cones.
They had pine cones, right?
We did pine cones. It was just a very dried pine cone wedding. I mean, it was incredible because her bridesmaids were in emerald green.
Yeah,
I think.
That was quite a while ago.
So that was quite different. We've had the taxidermy with horns and...
which I love. I love taxidermy. Yeah. If you come to the workshop, you'll meet a few taxidermy items. Yeah. So I'll introduce you to if you come. The bunny rabbit.
Science teachers. We had test tubes as their table centres.
Oh, amazing.
And we filled with different colours. Actually, not a wedding, but we did a corporate event, and it was for it was a food company. I can't remember them now. But I actually did basically I incorporated vegetables into like the flower arrangement, and they were in vases that you could see underneath. So I I hung carrots from it, and it was
pineapples.
Pineapples. Yeah, we filled pineapples with flowers, pumpkins. Yeah, the more unusual, the more I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool.
But for us, it's definitely, and I think it's typical now with more brides, they're asking us for installations.
Yeah.
It's hanging things from above. So what you want is your guests to walk into that room and go, wow. Table centres are lovely. They're great. And we enjoy doing them. And we've actually just invested in some lovely new ceramic, very organic looking pots, because I think it's the trend now is things that are sort of growing out of the table,
a bit more softer,
or growing out of the floor or growing out of the ceiling. So it's not that I must have a jar of flowers. It's something that just looks like it's kind of there anyway, in an organic way, which is what we love to create as well.
And so, speaking of trends then, should we move on to that sort of portion of the discussion? So what kind of trends other than that are you now seeing?
Well, like you've just touched, very just natural. Like we use a lot of greenery in all our things we do. So especially for like arches and stuff, that is the bulk of it. And then we add the flowers for like the kind of the wow factors, you know, you've got the bigger blooms and stuff. Things like like making arches, for example, putting actual real plants in the actual arches, say like hydrangeas, because actually hydrangea plants are great, because hydrangeas are a bit of a tricky flower sometimes, especially in the height of the summer, that they can, drop a bit, unless, you know, obviously we condition them as much as we can, but on a very, very hot day, I've been there half an hour for a ceremony, literally with my spritzing like a crazy lady up and down my ladder, just to keep them absolutely perfect. But, you know, the reality is, you know, we have water sources, so we don't use Oasis, because that's that
That's the green evil, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the yucky stuff that, you know, and, you know, our floristry is a bit more natural. So actually when we don't use it, it's much more flowy. So we use things like chicken wire wrapped, you know, around our arches. And we have water sources sort of that we can use. If it's plastic we use, it's stuff that we can use the containers again.
But having
things like plants amongst at the bottom of an arch is really lovely, because then that couple then can take them away and use them, you know, and then pop them in their parents' gardens and, you know, and then you can always remember it by and stuff like that.
Yeah, I really like that idea, actually. That's quite cool.
Yeah, so just that. Or having, you know, plants on your tables and stuff like that.
That works well with long tables, isn't it? We've done sort of tablescapes of different potted plants and herbs, and then that's all can be taken away and given to your guests as well, which is a lovely idea.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think, again, another trend is I think it is just focusing on, you've said it before, like just having that one wow factor, rather than having loads of, like, flowers everywhere. You don't need to identify, and that's when your florist, whoever that is, will go, you know, look at that venue and go, actually, do you know what, having that arch at the front of your ceremony will be the, you know, the wow factor of your photos. And then afterwards it could be moved to maybe the front of the marquee, so it could, you know, so you're getting you know, double, you know, the amount for it, kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
I think also that in terms of sustainability point of view as well, because, you know, if you want to, if you're a bit more eco-conscious, then having the ability to use your flowers in multiple aspects of the wedding is better for the environment, isn't it?
Yes.
And avoiding the oasis is also great for the environment.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah, there's a huge debate with us florists about oasis and, you know, using it or not and everything like that. But, yeah, we've moved away from it. And I think it makes for a much more natural look.
It does,
and the couples that come to us want that, and, you know, and they and people are more
doing their homework on us.
Yeah, and people are much more aware of you know, wastage and stuff, and we all should be in every aspect of our life, you know, if it's your wedding or if it's your day to day with your recycling and stuff like that. So, yeah, all our stuff is, we have lovely gold footed bowls that we put chicken wire in, and, you know, or just tape it up, and so, that's a much more natural sort of look.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the trend I've gone with for our wedding is that more natural look, that more organic look. And I think you were saying as well before the podcast about how you're seeing more brides having their bridal bouquets as just flowers rather than greenery or flowers. So that's also something that I've gone for myself.
Lovely.
So it's one, I think it's trends that are timeless, I think, we're seeing at the moment. What about colours wise? What are you seeing lots of, like, bright colours? I think that's in our 2023 trend report, we had that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have brides that say, I must have the trendiest colour of the year. You know, yes, we have the whites and the greens, which is beautiful. You know, you can't come away
and
from
the,
that.
That's the blushes as well added into it. Yeah, and we get that, and that's gorgeous and timeless.
We've had bright brights. They want carnival kind of colours because they want that party look. So, all sorts, really.
Yeah, it is a mix. And then we go, and then the sort of more earthy kind of tones, which
the toffees,
I quite like, you know. And then it's the toffee roses. It's that sort of, and using, you know, like, I don't think Pampas will ever go. Like, you know, it was all Pampas, wasn't it, a couple of years ago? And it's still around, but it's more, it's other
dried
sort of
elements.
Dried elements, like other grasses and spears and, you know, just adding that, it just adds a little bit more texture and a bit more kind of, I don't know.
And it's the look of the actual arrangement as well, rather than sort of a ball shape with head-to-head flowers. You know, we're seeing things that sort of, you know, you'll have a flower, an angle, then you have some lower down. So it's very kind of stylized, isn't it?
Yeah.
What?
I just liked your kind of how you did that, like, your hands and stuff like that. That was good. But yeah, but you know, it is.
That's how I create.
It's different levels. It's different levels.
I'm a hand talking myself.
Yeah.
Layers and sticky outfits.
Sticky outfits. Well, that's it. When a couple will be like, oh, well, what's your sort of style of bouquet? I'm like, well, you know, you'll have a bit of sticky out here. Yeah. You'll have a bit there. I don't know. Like, and that's
it's
the thing.
What looks well.
Yeah. And even when I make bouquets, you know, like, we're very lucky, we have a lovely British grower that we get the flowers from, and sometimes, you know, she'll surprise me, like, oh, you know, this is perfect for this, and this is, you know, this is the colour palette, she'll give me something else, I'm like, oh my god, that looks lush, and we'll add it, and I'm like, okay, that looks
it's
cool
now.
Just added, like, and it's surprising, like, you know, couples, I think our couples are like, I love the fact that they just trust us and go, like, okay, right, you're going to make something amazing. I trust you. You know, sometimes in the past, you know, when it's, okay, well, how many roses are you going to put in my bouquet? Mm. How many of this type? And I'm like, well, until I make
flowers,
it, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Sometimes it's an eye thing, isn't
it? And like, actually, if it needs another rose here, or if it needs another, you know, renunc here, oh, you know, then I'll just go for it. But I hate...
Creative license.
I never know what it's going to look like, but... Hopefully. Yeah. It looks all right in the end.
Normally they do.
Well, you know, no.
We haven't had any complaints yet.
Oh, well, no, so we haven't. You know, and that's the thing. That's what I like is the trust that we have with our couples. And that's why we love working with them. And hopefully
well, and
they
I think
too.
That's why they meet us. I mean, I had this lovely bride the other day who brought me hot cross buns.
I know.
It was brilliant. And she'd never sort of met me. So our first meeting,
a big hug.
She just said, oh, it's so lovely to actually finally meet you. And let's have a hot cross bun. And we sat for nearly 2 hours chatting about
and
her,
it's lovely, yeah,
her venue,
it's nice.
And her flowers, and yeah, loved it.
And we just touched on the venue there as well. So you were talking way earlier in the podcast about knowing what your venue will look like and really considering that. Is there any kind of style that someone might be able to search on somewhere like Pinterest that suits a country house, a marquee? Is there any kind of specific style that you would suggest using as a starting point?
I think look at the venue's website.
The venue's website.
I think that's a good starting point because the venue will advertise what, you know, other florists have done, the decor and how it all works. And then it's then talking to whoever's going to be doing your flowers they've done.
Yeah. And their recommended list. Yeah. You know? So actually, you know, that's a great start, I think, for couples is that a lot of venues will recommend certain suppliers that have done work there, so they know they've done stuff there. So then check out their Instagram and check out what they've done. TikTok, if they're that cool on TikTok. Yeah, because we haven't done TikTok yet, Snapchat, whatever it is nowadays. But, you know, we do Instagram.
Yeah.
We haven't done TikTok yet. We can't do it.
We're too old.
But, you know, just check it out. Just do a bit of research and find out. And then you'll see, like, that venue or, you know, like, search for images for that
And
venue.
You don't have to, you know, if you're getting married in a barn, it doesn't mean you have to have barn-style wedding flowers. Because anything works. Marquees, yes, you can go a bit crazy because it's a blank canvas. A manor house, okay, you could be steered towards something a bit more formal, but I would say there's no rules or regulations. If that's what you love and that's what you want,
go for it.
Just have it.
And I've seen actually quite a few pictures of the same venue with totally different flower displays and totally different bouquets that the brides are holding, and you know, I think it you're right in saying it's absolutely what your style is. And sometimes maybe not having thought about anything is quite useful as well. I mean, what kind of questions do you ask your couples to get what they want out of them?
Oh god, we've had some that it's been tricky because they don't know exactly what they want. But then, you know, you sort of have to take a step back and you say, okay, well, what colours don't you like? I suppose that's always my starting question is, what colours do you know you definitely don't want? Or are you allergic to any flowers? Or are there ones that you don't...
That's quite crucial.
Yeah, like pollen and allergies. I think it's because I'm quite nosy. I quite like seeing the dress if they've got the dress you know, or the outfit or like the suit. Because again, like, you know, the groom's suit will I don't know, you can kind of get a vibe for like if they're going tweedy kind of that thing, then maybe go a bit more traditional, or if they're going like a dark suit. But again, the dress shape will kind of dictate the style of the bouquet as well as the kind of look as well. If you're going very elegant classic, then you want something a bit more sort of neat and tidy.
It's not getting too hung up initially. So when they come to talk to us, you know, I'll always say to them, you know, this might be your ideas now, and let's go with that, and let's put a proposal together. Then along the whole planning process, you might change your mind. You know, there might be other things that you think, oh, I really love that now. Can we have a look at that? Absolutely. You know, that's, you know, so, you know, sometimes people plan a year in advance. Well, in that year, you're going to see other things. You might have gone to other people's weddings and gone, oh, actually, I know I wanted that table centre, but I don't really like that.
Yeah.
Can we try something else? So absolutely. You know, we're not going to say no. You know, once you've booked us and you've agreed on that, that's it. adjustments can be made.
So, oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. We'll have our sort of final chat about sort of 6 weeks before the day,
yeah.
And that's when we do say, like, actually, you know, let's knuckle down, like, the colour scheme, and these are the flowers that I know that are going to be in season, and mm-hmm. and everything. Because actually, at that point, we need to be thinking of, do we need extra freelancers in?
Yeah.
Do we need to get sourcing? If we've only got 10 of those vases, I might need to get two more extras and stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, up until about 6 weeks, that's when we do say, okay, we need to, you know. But like I said, you know, the morning of, I was making a buttonhole and, well...
running up and down.
Well, the Fulham Palace was a classic. We literally, about 5 minutes before the ceremony, there was a buttonhole for the father of the bride. Well, no, the father
Someone
of the groom,
had taken
wasn't it?
It hadn't they,
Someone
accident.
Had taken it. It was, yeah, it was a bit of a... I was sweating. It was
you
a hot summer day. I just had my daughter, so obviously hormones flying and everything like that. So I was still breastfeeding. So I was like, oh, God, hot, hot. Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, it was a big... It was a really lovely, big, big wedding. And, yeah, basically, I got a call from the planner, wasn't I, saying, oh, hi, Kirsty. We're just missing a buttonhole for the groom's father. And I was like, no, you're not. I've sent them all there. Because we leave them at the church because it was half an hour to go. And I'd gone back to Fulham Palace, which it wasn't that far, but it's a good...
It's a distance.
It's a good 10 minutes.
For somebody who doesn't run.
I don't run. Yeah, I don't run. Yeah, so, and I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? So, you know,
I'm
the planner...
Sure some expletive came out as well.
I went off the phone. I was like, oh my... beep, 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 beep.
But you were really good. But she's no. like tying a buttonhole
well,
while running.
As I was running, so I was like, oh my God, he's got to have one. Because this is... So someone from the wedding party or a guest had just obviously nicked it and didn't realise, even though they're all labelled. Anyway, so that was fine. So I was like, okay, fine, I'm on it. So I literally quickly grabbed everything I could, took the ribbon. I had the ribbon in my mouth and I was literally running across the field. So where Fulham is, there's a church that's like across the field, and it's, you know, but oh my God, it was, yeah. And then I got to him, and he's outside the church, and I'm like shaking,
asking you to put it on.
Shaking and sweating, and I'm like putting it, and he's like, oh, could you put it on? I was like, oh my God. I was like, fine, but my hands are all manky and green, and I literally had beads of sweat, so I looked a mess. But anyway, it was all good, so it was fine. But yeah, so that, yeah, we get stupid things like that to do, but
that's
it's all
brilliant.
Good.
That's the kind of story I love to hear.
Yeah.
Like, I solved this problem, but it was really stressful.
Yeah. But that's it. And that, I actually quite like problem solving.
It's like being a swan, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Gliding along, but underneath you like this. Oh,
yeah. But that was definitely not our fault. But, you know, there are things that obviously might happen, but you don't know about it. Nothing, you know, like, you know, a vase will break, but actually that's why we always bring extra vases. If we're, you know, like Fulham, if we're 2 hours away from our workshop, we'll always bring extra things just in case. Flowers, we'll always bring extra flowers for, you know, if anything goes wrong. But, you know, couples don't know that, so, you know.
what they don't know doesn't hurt them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all fine.
I was talking to a few wedding planners recently, and they were saying we need a TV show where we just get recorded of like what happens on the wedding day, and then afterwards they get shown to the couple
and find
out what went wrong and how it was fixed.
Remember the one that you were collecting again? It was a London wedding, and this beautiful vintage car, wasn't it? That she came in, the bride and the groom were going
down.
Off, and then literally they're waving to the, and it was a really beautiful, big budget. Guests are buying this beautiful car, and literally, and it stopped, and people pushing the car to bump start.
Because we were collecting all the flowers from the church
to
go back to Fulham Palace. Yeah. And we were behind them. In front of them or behind them, couldn't remember.
But our van
suddenly
was like...
the wedding car broke down. I was like, oh no. But it was lovely. Everybody, like not guests, but obviously people down the streets, were helping them bump start the car.
But again, it made for... I've seen the photos because we get sent the photos afterwards.
I think there's a video of it. It's
and
really
it's
good.
So brilliant, the photos it made of it. And the bride was just... It's hilarious.
It's whatever.
And it's whatever, you know. Yeah. It's good.
I think that's one thing I'm going to have to make sure I am on the day is just actually, there's nothing I can do now.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to enjoy it.
Relaxed.
And yeah.
And it brings a good story afterwards as well.
That's a brilliant story. I like that. So in terms of practicalities, when we're talking about booking our wedding flowers and having the time for you guys to do the creative process and, you know, being able to have that, as you say, the ability to book something and then walk away and think about it and go, oh, actually, I quite like this or I don't like that anymore. And really being able to make the most of the time. How long would you suggest before the wedding booking your florist?
Well, we've had all sorts. So we have some that are real planners. So it'll be a year, won't it? I mean, actually, we've got some that are talking of, you know, 2024.
So I think I booked my florist about 15 months in advance.
So I think if you know you've got a particular florist that you want, then I think, yeah, book them as soon as you can, because we do get booked up. You know, those big seasonal dates, will go very, very quickly. But then we've had some brides that are very relaxed, and it's, oh, I'm getting married in a couple of months' time, you know, are you available? And you're like, oh, not really. But but if there are dates that we are, then obviously we will try and help them. So I would say the norm is a year. I think, you know, when you're booking wedding dresses, photographers, cake makers, it's got to be a year, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so, I think... Obviously, get the venue, get your date, and then I think the next stage is actually your photographer, because obviously a photographer can only do your wedding, so and actually, you know, get them in, kind of thing. And I think us florists are the next kind of stage, aren't we? Really, because you know, we can if we can, we don't like to, but we can do if it's a two smaller weddings, and you know, we've got the, you know, we're very lucky, we've got a good team of like freelancers, and we can take on maybe another one, but we don't like to if it's a big wedding. But that's the thing, once we're booked, we're booked. So if you know, do your research, have those conversations, get an idea of costs, and if you like a florist, book us. Just that's the best advice, just go for it, and then you can carry on the conversation, and then like you said,
and that's why we say, you know, don't put pressure on, I have to know exactly what I want. It's just, if you know you want that person to do your wedding, be that us or photographers, cake makers, is just book them, because then it, you take that pressure off yourself, you can relax. And then you can start, you know, getting excited about the planning stage. Whereas we've had some that haven't booked, we're still talking, and then, you know, I've had to make those phone calls to say, I'm really sorry, that that date is now booked. And they're like, oh no, why didn't we? And it's just, what, we told you.
And we do, you know, if we are talking to a few couples for the same date, whoever came in first, we do always go back to them saying, look, you know, we have been approached by another couple, obviously you haven't put a deposit down, we'll continue to that couple, but could you let us know your decision? And we always do that, and we're, you know, but then when they, you know, don't, they do take a while, and then it's not happened a lot of the time, but
And it's hard because they do want to do their homework, they do
research,
want to,
and they're
to
waiting
other,
for a quote from maybe someone else.
And I'm the same, you know, anything I do in life, you know, I'm not going to go for the first person. It's nice to get a bit of comparable evidence, but I think it's if you like that person or their work, just book them in. Everything else can then be discussed.
And I think I would totally agree with that, because I think that's kind of was my attitude the whole time I was thinking about booking people, is that I was looking at, you know, sites like Guide to Brides and on Google and on Instagram, and as soon as I found something I liked, it was like, I should probably get in touch with them sooner rather than later. Because actually, our colleague Trudy, she said to me about how my date was quite fully booked for quite a few of the people that she'd spoken to, and I was like, oh my God, I better get my bum in gear. I'm glad she told me that, because it did mean that I got everything going. But that's one of the things, is that you don't realise how quickly people can get booked. Because, you know, as soon as I made a decision, I was like, right, deposit down, secured, don't have to think about it now.
And I think that comes back to Pinterest, of like people just get overwhelmed with like, oh,
with
ideas. But then what about that then? And let's approach that person. Or what about pressure? You know, like, you go, oh, you're just going to make a decision, because actually your decision is going to be made for you. If you don't book someone, you know, you're going to be left with, you know, which, you know, there are loads of us to choose from, and all different styles, all different, you know, vibes.
Yes.
But yeah, like, you're better off doing it soon, so you've got the full choice.
And it's your first choice, so you always want your first choice.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't want that disappointment of not getting them. Yeah, so, you know, being able to actually secure it is really it's really important.
And then
to consider.
Tick,
yeah, done. Tick, don't done. Think about it for done. Another 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've got a couple of frequently asked questions from couples here to go through.
We're like,
the couple of questions about how to hold a bouquet.
Oh,
well. Do you want the rude answer or the...
Do you want... Well,
okay. give us the rude one. Go on.
So we normally... For photographers
we do,
as well.
Do we... Do we... Do we say?
I'm going to say. Right.
Okay, go on then.
So a bouquet, because a lot of the bouquets that we, well, in fact, all of them are very front facing, you know, so in the photographer's point of view, you want it in all its glory. And, you know, they want to see the dress, etc. So we do say, I'm going to get this right now, pubes, not boobs.
Okay.
Brilliant. You said it.
So obviously, down here as opposed to up here. Because brides and that's naturally, what, when you hold, you know,
yeah,
you
you're
hold
a bit like
this.
Yeah.
You're nervous.
Yeah. Or, yeah. And you've never
you need to just release.
It's
bring it down
pubes, not
to the lower region of your body. So, and the photographer will say, oh, you know, we've had to say that.
They probably won't say that phrase.
Yeah. We do gauge it with our bridal couples when we go in and meet the bride on the morning and give her her.
And if it's not like granny's in the room while she's getting ready, like we will gauge the
lower.
Situ.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah, but couples know what we like, so yeah. And actually, that's quite tame for us. But yeah, it is. Just hold it a bit lower. Yeah. Lower. That's
lower.
What I say.
Lower region.
Even the lower region. Yeah. Anyway, oh God.
The next one I've got is, how are flowers delivered to you? So the personal flowers, how do they come and what should we do with them before the wedding?
Okay.
So we do tell them that, but yeah, so we will always, well, it depends on the timings of the day, but we always go and see the bride or groom first, who, if they're holding a bouquet, so we will go see them, and it will be myself or Becky or both of us, or, you know, to be honest, that's the bit I really love. So I always want to do it, don't
we?
I?
Want a crier, basically.
We do like a crier. No, we don't want a crier. If she's done if they've done the makeup, then no, obviously not. We don't want to ruin it. But it's just a really nice to see the bride or the couple on their morning is lovely, isn't it? Wherever they are, hotel or if they're at the venue getting ready. So yeah, we will come all out of water in like a presentation box and everything. But we'll also bring, depending on the venue, we sometimes have vases there at the venue if we're regulars there. We'll come, go up into the room where they're having their makeup done. And it's just such a nice atmosphere. It's just, you can't beat it, can you? It's just lush.
There's music on, they're drinking their champagne.
Yeah.
Prosecco.
And we've been offered like, do you want some breakfast? Yeah. And I'm like, oh God, I'd love to, but I've got to set your flowers up, you know. it's just the best part
so
of the
job. So they come
I
in
think.
Their natural... With their ribbons, if we've got a tie, you know, more ribbons on, if they've got special lace from their dress or all those sort of things.
And sometimes, actually, that's a good point, we get asked to, if there's like a necklace that they want to attach to the handle of the bouquet, so sentimental, if there's photos and stuff. So
we show them how to do that.
Yeah, we show them and we can help them attach that and everything, because we don't have those sent to the workshop because obviously it gets lost or damaged. So we add those and then we put them in water. But we always, one of the big things I always say is a good half an hour before you leave, take the bouquets out of those vases, put them on a tea towel or a whatever, you know, cloth, just dampen them down, because the worst thing you could do then is get dressed in your beautiful dress, sit in a car or whatever, and they start
dripping.
Yeah. So you don't want to look like you've got very overexcited and you've wet yourself basically just as you're walking down the aisle with like green water. No, so that doesn't happen, because that's the one I'm so paranoid about that. So I'm always like, please just dampen it down. And I said that to the bridesmaids, obviously the bride or the groom doesn't do that. So that's it really. So that's kind of deliver. And then we will go off and do, you know, the venue set up and stuff like that. So we'll be in the background. Like, you know, we always say we're like wedding ninjas. Yeah, just moving things around. And then, after the ceremony, if we need to, then we'll quickly move things as well.
So. Yeah.
Amazing. And then I think the next question kind of relates to that is, how long do you tend to need in the morning of the wedding or the day before to set up? I mean, I guess it's another sliding scale.
It really all depends on, you know, what's needed, isn't it? And, obviously for big weddings, we've got a lot of us doing various bits to it. So, yeah, it's a hard one to answer, I suppose.
But couples don't really need to worry about that.
No.
That's the whole point.
And we don't want
them
to know about the boring logistics of it. We need to know where we need to be, and then we'll talk to the venues, we'll talk to the churches, we'll talk to cake makers if we're supplying them with flowers. So all the other suppliers, if we need them, then we kind of... We're like a little mini wedding planner.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think that's what we are, basically. We should go into that.
Maybe we should.
Yeah,
no,
another but yeah, idea. That's it. We don't want to bog them down. You know, like, couples don't need to know that. Like, we need to know, you know, what time, you know, what church, whatever the church. We've sometimes couples give us the wrong churches, don't they? But yeah, that's fine. We that's another story. Yeah, and then we will do the logistics. It's all about logistics. Yeah. We're planning lists and that's why
checklists, idiot checklists.
Well, and I do an idiot idiot list. Yeah, yeah. So before we leave our workshop, when we're loading the van up, I will do idiot check. I'll get my laptop out, and it's the very last thing I do. Obviously, have a wee before I leave because I'm terrible for long journeys. That's my Since make a coffee. Have a coffee. But I will always. That's my thing, isn't it? I'm like right, and I talk to myself. I'll go in the van and actually like right. Okay, how many of those? How many buttonholes and everything? Yeah. So we know we've got everything. So
Yeah, amazing. So I think what's come out of that for me is you need to be put in touch with certain people. Mm. And who would you, if you had to give us a quick list, who should your florist be in touch with?
So we always ask for sort of a wedding info form. So certainly, you know, where you're getting married. Mm. So if it's a church, we need the vicar, the reverend priest, mm-hmm. Or the warden, church warden. And if it's the venue, obviously it's the coordinators there, the wedding coordinators. Or if there's a wedding planner, then normally it would just be them that will coordinate all of us. So that's probably the typical ones, and the cake maker. Mm-hmm. Photographer, we always like to know, because on the day we all say hello, etc. You know, half the time we know them anyhow. And then, you know, at the end we'd like to obviously use their photos so that we can put them on our social media. So we like to know, we just like to know everything.
Yeah, we're a bit nosy.
We're just really nosy. Dressmaker.
Yeah. Well, the dressmaker is quite nice, isn't it? But like, again, especially with
them all as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So we share the love.
Yeah, we share the love, and that's the whole thing that we need to do as suppliers.
I'm speaking to suppliers now, I'm like, maybe what I need to do is just create a little email and tell everyone who everyone is.
Absolutely.
Just so that it's all together, and they, even if you don't need to know the band, you know who they are to tag them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it's so important.
Well, it's just a contact sheet that we get sent, and that's what planners will do. And then that's when you can, then you just, everyone knows what they need to do. So as a couple, don't worry about it. This is what we do. We do this day, you know, every day, every week, you know, throughout the summer. Just let us liaise with everyone. So
and I think
you just
us,
need to just chill out, enjoy your day.
We just
we're
have to be
it.
Careful we don't get too involved, because I know sometimes with florists we're asked to them, oh, could you do this on our tables, you know, would you be able to put these on our tables, you know, almost be stylists. Well, there is a limit
we can, but if it's, you know, tying little things on napkins and stuff like that, then of course we can, but you know, we would charge for that, because you know time is money, and if that's going to take 3 hours to tie little napkins with a sprig, which we can do, we're gonna have to factor that in a bit on our day, or we're going to be late for the church, kind of thing. So
yeah, that's really, really good point. And in terms of how to maximise your budget, do you have any tips for couples on that? Because that, I think, is a really frequently asked question that we get in terms of flowers, anyway.
Well, I would say to utilising the flowers. So any flowers that you're having in your ceremony, if they're easy to transport, let's move them and place them in areas within your reception as well. So, you know, big arrangements on plinths, let's move those and put them either side of your top table or at the front of the entrance to your reception, wedding breakfast. Wedding breakfast? It is wedding breakfast.
Oh, it's traditionally called that,
Or next to your welcome sign, table plan.
Yeah.
So there's always, and that's how, you know, we will always say to a bridal couple, maximise
Everything.
You know, everything. you know, we do talk to a lot of brides that budget is no object, you know, and they want the arch at the church. They want the arch at the venue as well. So actually, you know, we're not moving things, etc. That's not all brides or couples. So, we would just be creative with where we can put things, etc. So,
but actually, on that about churches, one tip I would say is talk to your church if you're getting married in church, because actually sometimes they do like you to donate flowers like a Sunday service. So as a, you know, a thank you to the church, you have to leave either some depends on the church, but we've had churches that you have to donate leave all the flowers. Whereas some couples are like, we want to take them. And I'm like, well, you know, you need to talk to them. But, you know, but then the compromise is that we just do an arrangement and we leave it, but then we'll take the other one to the venue. So, yeah, that's definitely something to ask. That's one question I would say, ask the church, what's the deal with the flowers?
That's something I wouldn't have considered. I mean, I'm not getting married in a church myself, but, you know, that's something I wouldn't have even considered at all. I would have thought, I own the flowers.
So well, exactly.
Well, yeah.
Take them away.
But then sometimes we have had couples who are like, I'm taking them anyway. I'm not getting involved in this.
I'm not wrestling them off the vicar.
I'm not. Yeah, literally wrestling that bouquet off a vicar. Yeah, that's what the bride could do.
So, I think the last thing to ask would be, do you have any final tips for couples that, you know, either something that they should be aware of, some questions that they should ask their florists, anything that you feel like we haven't yet covered?
I suppose being honest, I think.
Be honest and just talk to, do your research, you know, look on Instagram and, you know, and find, you know, I don't know, a certain amount of florists and then go meet them. Mm. You know, actually chat to them over a coffee and find out what they're like, because actually flowers are obviously a very big part of your day. No, I'm going to say that. But no, they, you know, it's such a big, it kind of designs your day, the look and feel. So you've got to get on with your florist.
My decor is the flowers.
Exactly, you know, but obviously some couples don't want to have loads of flowers, but I think majority of weddings are flowers heavy kind of thing. But you've got to get on with your florist. Like, if, you know, you're going to be working with them, you know, it's got to be a lovely relationship. And, you know, luckily the couples that we come across are, you know, we naturally, you know, be like, oh my God, I can't wait to do their day and everything like that.
And we also have that relationship afterwards with
them.
I mean, we deliver anniversary bouquets. Yeah. You know, we've been, been involved with when they have babies, but that's wrong.
Yeah, we get involved in your making babies. That's a service we do at Flowers by Cook.
I feel that coffee.
What Bex is trying to say.
Bex is gone. Bex is not with us anymore.
I'm off now.
What I am trying to say then is, so we do, a groom will contact us and ask us for basically a recreation of the bridal bouquet for a year anniversary present.
That's a lovely idea, actually.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You're right.
Professional.
So basically we have a really lovely, after the wedding, we have a relationship with the couple.
And they make comments on our Instagram pages
and they keep in touch.
Nice.
And obviously we have all our thank you cards, and it's just, you know, I'm quite sad, like, after the wedding sometimes, because you're like, oh, I really love that couple. And, you know, it's just really nice that we build that relationship. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, okay,
they're
bye.
Gone now.
No, that's fine. Because, you know, we get, you know, they'll be like,
one of our brides, though, Edie's nursery.
Yeah, exactly. And that's nice. So, you know, if they're a local bride, and then, you know, she had a child same time as me, so it's quite nice. Yeah. And then they're actually friends, our daughters. So it's it's just really nice.
And I really love that idea about, you know, having the bridal bouquet reimagined for the first anniversary. I think that's a fantastic idea.
And they do our wreath making workshops and things don't they? So they get involved with, you know, Christmas, Valentine's. So it's all those sort of add-ons. If we've got that lovely relationship, then they'll continue to want our flowers.
And recommendations as well. That's a really big thing for me, is that if we do a couple's wedding, you know, then we'll get contacted maybe a year or so later, be like, oh, you did my friend's, I was the bridesmaid. You know, I'd love you to do my flowers. So for me, that is the biggest
recommendation.
That's just such a lovely feeling, isn't it? Yeah. You're obviously doing something right.
When someone recommends, totally. I completely agree. Yeah. Well, all I can say is thank you both for such a wonderful laugh and for bringing in your insights all about flowers. I mean, it's fantastic that we're able to finally cover this on the podcast, not being able to for such a long time. And it's really, really grateful to have you in here.
No, thank you.
You can find out everything you need to know about Flowers by Kirsty on Guides for Brides. We'll pop the link there and the social media links as well for you, so that you can investigate them further. But for now, we'll be get back again soon. Thank you so much for joining us, and happy wedding planning.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Guides for Brides, the wedding podcast. Head over to guidesforbrides.co.uk to continue your wedding planning, and don't forget to like, follow and subscribe on our social media channels @guidesforbrides.